Just about anyone who's put a dollar in the stock market has wondered, should I hold or should I sell? But history shows this is one case where doing nothing can pay off big time. Of course, we're talking about timing the market, or trying to, based on what stocks are doing today. Financial planner and teacher Rob West has some figures that show how trying to predict the market could cost you a fortune. Then it's your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The cost of market timing, that's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, this is a program about money, but everything we teach is based on God's financial principles. What verse do you think best describes our lesson for today?
Well, no question, Steve. That would be Proverbs 21:5. Steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. That verse should be both a warning and a comfort to us. It addresses two human emotions that will derail your long-term investment strategy, fear and greed. It tells us that if we have a long time horizon, a long investment horizon, where we don't need the money for at least 5 to 10 years, it's safe to invest in things that carry more risk because the market, at least historically speaking, always recovers. It also warns that trying to make or save a quick buck by attempting to time the market is potentially disastrous.
That's right. And I believe you have some numbers that really illustrate what the Bible is saying here. Where do you want to start?
Well, by looking at Zoom, it's a great video conferencing service that we use just about every day here at MoneyWise. Let's say you bought Zoom stock a month before the coronavirus pandemic hit. The share price was $63 a share. A month later, just before shelter in place began, you'll notice it's gone up considerably to $68 a share. So you decide to, quote unquote, take your profit. That means to sell. You then congratulate yourself for making a tidy 8% profit in just 30 days. Pretty good return. Of course, you had no idea that millions of Americans would be homebound in the coming months. Churches, schools, and businesses all started using Zoom like nobody's business. A few months later, into the pandemic, Zoom was selling at, you ready, $204 a share.
Oh, my goodness.
If you'd held the stock instead of making just 8%, well, you'd have made 325%. Steve?
Oh, sorry, I was checking my Zoom stock there. Obviously, no one can predict what the market will do. You certainly can't, because if you could, that means you didn't call me, and I'd really be upset about that 300% return. Okay, so what else? What else should we know and integrate into our investing lives?
Well, it's one isolated example, and it illustrates what can happen when you try to time the market. Let's look at a scenario where you do it with the market in general over a long period of time. Say you bought $1,000 worth of an S&P 500 index, the 500 largest companies here in the United States. Let's say you did that in 1970 and did absolutely nothing with it. Well, by 2019, the year, that $1,000 would have turned into nearly $140,000. But if you tried to time the market either to take profit or prevent a loss, and you'd miss just the five best days of the S&P's performance during that period, well, your stock would not be $140,000, it'd be $90,000. Miss the best 25 days, and your stock would be only worth $33,000. So we see that the negative impact of trying to time the market can be absolutely huge.
Yeah, most certainly. Okay, so how do we avoid missing those big days in the market?
Yeah. Well, the same way you take the sting out of the market's worst days, by sticking to a long-range investment plan, by dollar-cost averaging, which most investors are already doing. If you contribute a consistent amount each month to your retirement account, you're automatically dollar-cost averaging. That could be in stocks, mutual funds, it could be bonds, and you simply ignore what the market is doing on a daily basis.
All right. And how exactly does that give you the market's best days while minimizing the worst?
Yeah. Well, it's by investing a consistent amount each month. You're automatically buying fewer shares when stocks are expensive, but then when the market's down and you're still contributing the same amount each month, you're correspondingly buying more shares. So no matter what happens on Wall Street, you're always building maximum equity at minimum cost. And I think we just need this mindset of delayed gratification. Steve, I'd go back to that verse we started with, steady plodding brings prosperity.
Okay, we'll come back and chat a bit more about this. And then we're taking your phone calls on anything money-wise, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
I can't go home with news like this.
Yes, that way.
Mom and Dad are going to have a fit. Oh, why didn't I listen to them?
Sign in right there.
And everyone at church.
Going.
What are they going to think?
Yes.
Everyone's going to be talking about me, about us.
Right that way.
No, I've got no place else to go.
Please sign in.
But the faces here, they all look miserable. A pregnancy should be exciting, not so depressing.
Hello, right that way.
Is there anyone else I can talk to? I feel like a number in this place.
Oh, sign in here.
And why are they so defensive when I asked about other options? Do they really care what's best for me? And what about the baby?
Miss Smith.
Oh,
Is there a Miss Smith here?
Now what do I do?
There is someone who cares. Before you make a decision, please look at all your options. A thought from this station and Moody Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today, and also what's great is we have open phone lines, so if you've been thinking of calling, wanting to call, maybe something came up over the weekend, and you're thinking, I wonder what Rob thinks about this. Well, now's a good time to find out. Open lines at 800-525-7000. If you're driving, you might want to pull over and make it safer that way, 800-525-7000. When we went to our break, we were discussing Proverbs 21:5, steady plodding, and no, that isn't the way that Rob West runs a marathon. It has to do with prosperity. And is it, Rob, steady plodding?
No.
Are you out there?
No,
yeah, right.
I was about to take umbrage to that, to use your word.
Thank you. I hadn't heard it from you in a while. What is it that keeps people from steady plodding? I mean, you do have to have a mindset that you're going to hang in there during the good and the bad, right?
Yeah, it could be any number of things. Number one is fear, I think. We have go to sleep at night. Perhaps we don't have peace of mind, concern that maybe there's going to be a massive reversal in the market. Maybe there's going to be a massive recession. Obviously, times like these exacerbate that quite a bit. And I think so often we have misplaced trust, and we need to realize ultimately our trust is in the Lord. We need to make wise decisions based on His principles, and that would mean that we do take that long-time horizon. And here's the good thing. Over the last 100 years, the data is on your side if you take the long view, because the very best way to see good performance with low risk is by investing in a well-diversified stock and bond portfolio and not trying to time the market. You know, I think the other side, Steve, is some greed that can creep in. You know, we see what's happening in the news with Tesla stock, for example, over the last 3 or 4 months, and we think, well, that should be me, and I'm going to try to jump in and jump out. Well, the problem is, for every Tesla stock, there's a, you know, 1,000 other ones that went the other way. And so it's just more akin to gambling. It's not how we should be managing God's money for the average investor. I'm not talking about a professional trader on Wall Street working for a big firm who does that professionally. I'm talking about the average person who's just trying to seek a good return with God's money. We need to take the long view.
Okay, well said. 800-525-7000. Let's begin by going up to Bloomington, Minnesota. Hi, Sally. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wondered, I would just like to get some good advice about what to do with the funds that I received from selling our property. That's just, I just put it in the bank. I didn't know what else to do with it. I don't need it right now. It would be for the children later on, but I didn't know the best way to handle it.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you called, Sally. And this, I assume, was the sale of an investment property. Is that right?
Actually, it was our home, a farm, a 250-acre farm.
Wow. Wow, I bet that feels good in some sense to be out from under the responsibility. And yet, if it's been in the family a long time, that may be challenging as well. Tell me kind of where you're at with that and what are your plans moving forward?
Well, I'm very comfortable. I'm living in a rental that belongs to my daughter and her husband. And so the rent that I'm paying is benefiting them and paying off their rental. So this money just went straight into the bank.
That's great.
And I just wanted some advice on, is that all I should do with it, or is there other things that I should have put it in?
Yeah, and you don't plan to buy another piece of real estate. And if that's true, my second question would be, do you anticipate needing to draw any portion of it in the form of income to supplement other income sources?
No, not really. I don't.
Okay.
And all my needs are taken care of. God has blessed me, blessed our family, and I just thought, should I just leave it in the bank and get the minimum interest, or is there something else I should do with it? And I'm not a stocks and bonds kind of a person, so I didn't know what else to do.
Well, you know, I think that's the next question is, once we know the time horizon, which you said really could be quite a while, if the Lord tarries and you have good health and this is really money you plan on either giving away or passing on to your heirs, then this is money that you don't need, at least based on what you know today. We'd want it to be there, obviously, if you had an unexpected major expense, you needed some long-term care, or you needed to go into assisted living or beyond, you know, what your family members could provide for you, and that could be costly. But apart from that, we just want this money to grow at a reasonable rate. So then we have to decide, okay, how much risk are we willing to take with any or all of it? It doesn't sound like, by you saying I'm not a stock and bond type of person, we certainly don't want to put it all at the risk of the market. And so I think with that portion that you want to keep ultra conservative, meaning it has a certain interest tied to it, but ultimately it's protected by the full faith and credit of the United States government. That would mean that it has FDIC insurance. Well, then you're going to have to settle for current rates, which right now are obviously very low. I suspect we'll see some higher rates down the road, but we're talking probably between 1% and 2% on that money, whether it's in a high yield savings that has FDIC insurance or a CD. And I wouldn't lock it up in a long term CD just because of this low interest rate environment. Now's not the time to do that. But if that's going to give you the peace of mind to know that it's protected, it's going to be there, even though you're not making much on it, then you certainly could do that. I think the second option would be, if you're not comfortable necessarily making decisions in a stock and bond portfolio, would you be comfortable hiring a professional? Now, that doesn't mean, again, that the full amount would be at the risk of the market. I could see in a portfolio like this that has a 10-plus year, maybe 20-plus year time horizon, where at your age and given your goals and objectives, maybe 20 or 30% of it is at the risk of the market, which means that you know, you can wait out any type of recession that may come your way. Typically, a bear market or a recession would last somewhere between 18 months and 3 years. So even if stocks took a dip, you're not having to sell out of that position. Even if you needed some of the money for current expenses, you could pull it from the cash portion. The benefit, though, of that, Sally, would be that 20 or 30% over time would provide a little bit of a growth factor to offset the lower interest rates that would be provided in the fixed income portion. You could also add some bonds, some short duration, very high quality, either corporate or U.S. government bonds that would add a little bit more return. But that type of portfolio would be something that would be built and managed by a professional. And that would be the way that I would go, unless you said to me, Rob, I just don't feel comfortable with anything that's not guaranteed, and then I would tell you to stay right where you are. So just give me your thoughts on what I've just shared with you.
Right. One question that I have asked myself and the bank is about the FDIC only insures it up to like $250,000.
Right. Right. So you can actually have that's per institution and that's per account type. So if you had it in a joint account and then you had another one in a trust or another one titled some other way, you could have $250,000 multiple times. If not, then you would have to use a second institution. So you could put $250,000 at Ally Bank, which is an online bank, FDIC insured, provides great customer service, great rates. Put another, $150,000 at, let's say, Capital One 360 or Marcus. And by doing that with multiple institutions, you can actually expand that FDIC coverage.
Sally, I hope that helps you. A great question. Sounds like you guys are moving in the right direction there. We wish you the best. Thank you very, very much. You're listening to Money Wise with Rob West, taking your phone calls today at 800-525-7000. We're going to pause now, but we'll be back with a question about using an annuity to pay off a house. Also a question about capital gains tax and some others as well. 800-525-7000. Please stick around.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
A couple of weeks ago, something happened so horrendous in a family that my family knows that I honestly got off the phone. Melissa called me and told me I couldn't finish our conversation. She goes, "Mom, I'm sorry even to." I said, "Well, I'd have had to have known. I had nothing else to say." And I set that phone down and I fell straight on that carpet. And my sobs were for the other family. It was not something that touched the inside of my own family's life. It was something horrendous that happened to a family that we know. All I could say over and over was, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." Now as I rewind, I realize that's exactly what we're talking about here. Going down on the face, even when you don't know what to say. Are you mad at him about something? Are you disappointed about something? God, you've left me speechless here. I don't know how to explain you in this matter. Don't we get real tripped up when we can't explain him to somebody? You know what I'm talking about? To take that wordlessness and just lay it face down before the throne. And that in that state, the Holy Spirit picks that thing up. And he begins to make intercession in accordance with the will of God.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, pick a podcast or television teaching, or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. Or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, remember, you can always visit us online. It's moneywiselive.org. There you'll find past radio programs from the last year or so, lots of budgeting resources and materials in our store, also a lot of free material that you can download and use with your personal budget. And it's also a way that you can make a donation if you'd like to support what Rob and I do here on a daily basis. We are a ministry, 501c3. Your gifts are tax deductible, but we trust if you consider giving, it's because of the benefit that you receive from hearing our program on a daily basis, along with our partners at Moody Radio. It's moneywiseorg.org. Just click the donate tab at the top of the page. Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for holding. What's your question?
Oh, hi. My question is, about 4 years ago, I started studying stocks and option investing, and I started actually practicing it on a real trading platform, but with fake money. So my question to you is, how do I know when I'm ready to use real money?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mary, I like what you've been doing here as you've been kind of learning how to go about this. Tell me what your style of investment has been as you've been, you know, using the fake money to kind of learn the ropes and so forth. Have you been buying individual stocks? Have you been looking at charts? Have you been trying to jump in and jump out of the market relatively quickly? You know, give me the overall sense of what you've been up to.
No, so what I've been doing is I would either buy a stock or I would buy an option, and I would plan my exit strategy as soon as I bought the stock or the option so that I didn't have to continue watching all the time. I wasn't tied to the computer.
Right.
And it seems to have worked. So it takes the emotion out of it a little bit more for me.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and is this something you're doing kind of as a hobby, or is this, you know, obviously you're trying to generate a return here, but give me a sense of how the money that you're thinking about using in this type of strategy relates to the total investable assets that you have.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, the money that you would potentially use in this type of strategy that you've been learning, is it the full amount that you would have available today for investments, or is it some smaller portion that you're using in this investment strategy you've been learning, and you have another portion in a 401k or in mutual funds or some other strategy?
Okay, so I do have money that's going into a retirement account.
Okay.
So this would be maybe half of it.
Okay.
But I've been studying also risk, you know, the amount of money I would put into each investment versus how much is in my total portfolio, so I don't risk too much, so much that I would cry if I lost it all.
Yes. And are you still working right now?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your time horizon? How far out is retirement?
Probably 5 years.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm a little concerned about the strategy that I'm hearing. It's not that I want to take anything away from the research you've done, the training you've taken on. Obviously, you've been learning along the way. You've been able to demonstrate that to yourself on paper, you know, using fake accounts and fake money to see how the strategies would play out. And so I'm not saying you've done anything wrong. I guess I would just say that the time and effort that will go into it, just generally, based on all the books I've read, the research I've read, the studies I've seen, it just doesn't pay. You end up taking more risk than you need to and end up with subpar returns when you try to time the market. I mean, even the most skilled and experienced traders really can have a difficult time. And, you know, they can go through years where their strategy is kind of, quote unquote, out of favor, and other years where they do exceptionally well. So trying to take a couple of classes and then taking up to 50% of your retirement money, which is a significant amount, and trying to time the market, even though you're using perhaps tested strategies, whether that's charting or through fundamentals or, you know, whatever that might be, I just haven't seen that work out very well in most cases, and especially with such a significant amount of money. And while this isn't your primary focus, you've obviously got the rest of your life and you're working and, you know, all the other things that go into it. And so you can't dedicate as much time as even a professional trader would. So my bias here, Mary, is going to be toward a more conventional strategy where you would just continue to systematically invest in well-diversified investments and you try to capture the broad moves of the market, or through actively managed mutual funds, you try to invest in a strategy of a professional money manager who's not just buying indexes but might be looking to pick winners and losers based on, you know, certain underlying factors. But trying to do that yourself in a situation like this with half of your retirement money is just not something I could get comfortable with. If you want to take what you've learned, though, and apply it, I would take a far smaller portion of it to do that, at least for the next couple of years. I would say perhaps, you know, 10% at the most. You may disagree, and I certainly would appreciate that, but I just wouldn't be able to get comfortable with what I'm hearing.
Mary, hope that helps you. We like what you're trying to do, and just want to be honest with our encouragement and wish you the best in that regard. Thank you very much. Rob, a quick one out to Sheraton, Wyoming. Hi, Jody. What's your question? Just a little bit of time.
Hi. How much is too much cash to have at home, and how much is a good idea?
You know, you're talking about physical cash that's there in your property. It's a good idea to have some cash at home in the unlikely event, and I mean that. I'm not someone who thinks that the banking system's, you know, going to come crumbling down. But in the unlikely event of a short-term banking system crash, something like that, it's not a bad idea. I would think just on average, most people would say probably, you know, somewhere between $500 and $1,500 would be about the way to go. You could also look at how much cash you would need for a week's time of a shutdown. That would be another way to go. Just look at your expenses over 7 days, and that should probably cover it.
Jody, we wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. Not that it's any of my business, Rob, but you're still using the shoebox deal at your house?
No, moved away from the shoebox.
You were reluctant to say anything at all, weren't you? Okay, well, that's the way he is. But maybe he'll talk to you at 800-525-7000.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's Revelation 5:9, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A top doctor is warning that Florida's rapidly increasing number of coronavirus cases is turning Miami into the epicenter of the pandemic. And an epidemiologist says the region's situation is extremely grave. Their assessments came as Florida recorded more than 12,000 new confirmed coronavirus cases today. That's after a record-setting weekend. A Navy official says the fire suppression system was inoperable when a blaze erupted aboard the USS Bonhom Richard in San Diego. The Howland gas system had been turned off while the amphibious assault ship was undergoing maintenance work. The fire erupted Sunday morning, and it continues to burn. At least 57 people were injured. Stocks gave up early gains and turned lower, barely finishing mixed today. The Dow gained 10, but the Nasdaq dropped 226 points. This is SRN News.
Welcome back. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Let's go to Indianapolis. I'm chagrined, Rob, when I mention Indianapolis. You know, I have been, since a child, an Indy 500 fan. My dad and I used to listen to it. Back then, it was all day long because the cars were so much slower when I was a boy. And this year, because of the virus, they're not having the Indy 500, or maybe they're going to move it later in the year, but I think they're not having it, so it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, but, I can imagine.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, hi, Sue. Sorry to talk around you. Are they doing the Indy 500 this year, to your knowledge? I think they're not. What do you think?
I don't think they are.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, maybe next year, maybe next year. Nonetheless, yeah. How can we help you? What's your question about your annuity?
Well, my husband and I have been tossing around whether we should use the annuity when he retires to pay off our home. And then especially with this whole pandemic, it just made us really realize that security is important to us. But we're not sure if that's a wise way to go.
Yeah. So if I understand correctly, you're on track to pay off your house in how many years?
Well, we got 20 years yet on the home.
Okay, still 20 years to go. And my notes say here you owe about $176,000. And then you have this annuity worth about $225,000. What do you have in investable assets outside of the annuity?
We have a savings account of about 6 months of our expenses right now. We do have a 401k under my employer and IRA.
Yeah, okay. And so does that represent the 401k and the IRA, is that about the same as the annuity? Is it worth more? Give me a sense of how that relates to this.
Much less. We're probably talking the combination of those two. We're probably talking about $30,000,
$35,000. Oh, I see. Okay. And how many years until retirement based on what you know today?
A year.
Oh, you're a year out. Okay. All right. And when you look at your retirement income and what you expect to earn in retirement, have you worked up that budget?
Yeah, absolutely. My husband has a good pension. We'll take home gross about $4,200. And I'm going to continue to work for probably, my husband's retiring at 60. He's in the trades and he can retire early, but he'll continue to work in a second job.
Yes.
Not necessarily so high paying, but just more to keep himself busy. And then I'll continue to work in my career for at least another 5 to 10 years.
Okay. All right. Well, the only concern I have here is the tax bill that could be associated with taking it out all at once. And so there's where I would be somewhat hesitant, assuming this is most of it is pre-tax, if not all of it. Do you happen to know what the tax situation is on the annuity?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that would be the first thing I would look at. It's likely that that would create a pretty sizable tax bill. And so that would be the main reason I wouldn't do that right now. You know, one strategy that people take is to perhaps roll over a sum of money from their retirement and put it into a fixed annuity that could then pay out toward that mortgage, if you wanted to do it that way. And so it would pay out the, annually and then ultimately, pay off the mortgage. I think the other approach is just to continue, especially with you continuing to work, continue on your current track, but try to accelerate the payoff so you're not pulling, a lump sum out all at one time and driving it up into a higher tax bracket, but you're systematically paying it off, but faster than the current scheduled 20-year payoff rate. At any point, obviously, you could take these assets and pull them out and pay it off, but I just like the idea, especially if you're doing better inside the annuity and the 401k and the IRA, if you're doing better than the current interest rate on the mortgage, assuming you don't have just an absolute conviction, you and your husband, we just absolutely want to be out of debt. And then if you do, I'd go for it. But if not, then I would keep your options open, try to accelerate the payoff on the mortgage, not create an onerous tax liability, and then see if you can use that to systematically pay it off over time. But let's say you make a goal of cutting that in half, 10 years instead of 20, or something like that. I think I'd be a little more comfortable with that approach as to not create or pay any unnecessary tax.
Hmm. And thank you, Sue. We hope that information helps you. Mulberry, Florida. Joseph, looks like you're trying to help your daughter a little bit, huh?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. How can we help?
She's kind of got a blank slate, I suppose you might call it. She owns a modest three-bedroom small home in a nice neighborhood. She paid cash for that a few years ago. She was in an auto accident. She got a little less than $100,000. She paid $40,000 for the house, and she bought an SUV, a small one, paid $15,000 cash for that, improved the home with a roof, central air and heat, fenced the backyard. Right now, she just learned in the past year, she's learning to put money back. She calls it savings, but she tends to dip into that, and she doesn't have super discipline with that, but she's trying. She has learned the word savings. She has no emergency fund. Her college debt, her school debt, is about $9,000. She is working in that industry. It's the cosmetology industry. She's been there at her job. It's a real good job, about 2 years, a little less. Her gross is about 26 a year to 30 a year. I was just wondering what, with her giving the loan thought she has, I mean, the savings thought she has, is there a plan, like a 1, 3, 5, your plan to where money could be removed from her check, but she would be less hesitant to try and take it out, like 401k, or how can we, yeah. how could she get her money taken out each paycheck and not be able to touch it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate so much you calling in with this. It sounds like she's made some good decisions, and yet she's learning along the way. So a couple of things, Joseph. I think the first thing is she really needs to learn God's way of handling money, as we all do, because understanding an eternal perspective of money and these principles we find in God's word that really help us to navigate managing his money as stewards are so critical, and so often we just don't know what they are. So when we finish here today, stay on the line. I want to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. I'd love for you to encourage her to read through that. I think that'll be a big help. Second thing is you got to have that plan. So if she doesn't have that spending plan, she needs to get that in place and have a system to track the flow of money once she has it worked out where it really reflects what's important to her, including building up that emergency fund and paying off that student debt as quickly as she can, which means that she's going to have to live well within her means and have some margin. And I suspect, you know, with her trade being cosmetology and the current environment of COVID, that's obviously going to create some challenges. Hopefully there's not a disruption in income. But in terms of putting that budget together, our MoneyWise coaches would be happy to help her. Just go to MoneyWiseLive.org, click on Connect with a Coach. There's no charge. They'd be happy to walk alongside her and help her get that set up. In terms of how she could put that away, I think having an automatic deduction, not to a 401k yet because she doesn't have the emergency fund, but having that automatic deduction to her an online savings account that's separate from her checking account, perhaps linked to it at Ally Bank or Marcus or Capital One 360, at least it's going to get it out of her checking account. And if she wants to use it, she's going to have to transfer it back. Now, it's still there, which means she could get to it, but hopefully that extra step adds that incentive. I think it's also important for her to really think through why it is she's having that emergency fund. And it's there for the unexpected. And it's really critical for her to be able to accomplish whatever the Lord has for her. So get her connected with a coach and then get her set up with an automatic debit for that savings. I think that'll help.
Thanks, Joseph. We appreciate that. More MoneyWise coming up after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. It's the most fun when you encounter the sourpuss. Yes, the person who is rude and foul and treating you like dirt. It takes two to fight, so don't fight. The scriptures tell us that returning good for evil is like piling burning coals on their heads, in a good way. Seeing as a sport changes everything. Their attitude, their anger is your competition, and your coach, that's God, is expecting you to win the game by playing your position well. You're not there by accident. Your goal is to make them smile by interrupting their anger with love they don't expect. Love conquers all, and Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple by your love. It might take several meetings, but when that smile finally comes, it's better than catching the winning pass in a championship game. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, these commandments are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Our homes should be places of moral, spiritual, social, emotional, and physical benefit. If you think what you do within the privacy of your home is your own business, think again. God has made it His business. You and I will experience serious consequences if we refuse to follow His directions for our homes. If we don't instruct our children about God and His Creator's directions for living, they'll develop their own standards and values based on what they feel, what they think, what their friends are doing, and what seems to work. Listen to me. God has given us directions on how to live a life that works. They're found in the Bible. If we are to prevent brokenness, our homes should be Bible-centered. Read God's Word. Teach it to your children. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Well, Rob, we know our radio signal is getting out as far as Wichita, Kansas, because that's where Letha is calling from. And Letha, thank you so much for holding in there, hanging on for us. What's your question?
Yes, I have a small amount of money that was given to me as a pension from a job that I had about 29 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's only about $39,000 in it, and I was given the opportunity to take that money and invest it as I would. But with them, I wouldn't be able to touch that money until 65. I don't intend to. Right now, it's in a holding account with Vanguard. I've been told to use it, put it in a self-directed IRA, and I was wondering, should I do that now, or do I need to wait until the market is more steady?
Yeah. Is it in an IRA currently, or is it in some other type of account?
It's in another type of account because it's just being in a holding account. I haven't directed Vanguard as to what to do with it.
Right, but there's the type of the account, and then there's the investments inside. So an IRA could be made up of only money market. Doesn't have to be invested in anything. So on your statement, or if you pull it up online, it's going to tell you what type of account it is. It's a 401k with Vanguard as the administrator. It's an IRA. It's some other type of account. I suspect it's already an IRA. It's just currently in the money market portion in terms of the investments. Does that sound right, or do you think I'm missing something?
I think you're right. I don't understand this stuff, but I think you're right.
Yeah, and when you hear self-directed IRA, that's not what you need. A self-directed IRA would be somebody who'd want to invest in an alternative asset class, like real estate. So you could leave it right where it is and have it invested through Vanguard. It's a wonderful company. They have very high-quality investments that are low cost. And to get some ideas on how to invest that money right there at Vanguard, I'd visit with our friends at SoundMindInvesting.org, SoundMindInvesting.org. They can help you with the information you need, and you can do it all right there in Vanguard. Leave it right there in that IRA and get it to work for you, and now's a great time to do it, Letha. So thank you for calling today. If we can help you further as you investigate this, let us know.
Great suggestion, Rob. Thank you. Spokane, Washington. Luana, thank you so much for calling in today, and what's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've been wanting to call for a long time.
Great.
I have my husband has always worked for farmers and a pretty low wage, and we've never had a retirement plan at all. But we have been able to pay off our home, and so we own our home free and clear. It's worth about $200,000 or maybe $225,000. He's still working part-time, but when he turns 80 at the end of September, he's going to quit, and then we just have our Social Security live off of, which is only about $1,500 a month. And so I was wondering about the possibility of taking a reverse mortgage on our home and just to add a small amount monthly to our income. But I don't know the pros and cons.
Yeah. Well, I certainly can appreciate that, Luana. And you do plan on staying in this home, if possible, for the foreseeable future?
Yes, unless it would, I suppose, if it came down to where we were not physically able to stay here and had to go to a care facility, we'd have to sell the home and go on Medicaid is all the only option I would know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not a huge fan of reverse mortgages, but I also am not one to say that's never a good idea. So it could make some sense in your situation. If you plan to stay in the home, you have enough income to keep up with the taxes and the insurance, so you keep everything paid there, and you just recognize that as this reverse mortgage is paid out, obviously that is money that's going to reduce what's available in the proceeds at its sale, either when you sell it and move somewhere else and you have to pay back the loan, or when your heirs sell it and they may not be able to keep the property in the family, at that point, or they may. It just depends on what the situation is. But nevertheless, it's going to have to be paid off. The other downside is the fees associated with it. They just tend to be somewhat expensive in terms of all of the various fees that go into the loan itself. And then there's, four or five other fees, not to mention the imputed interest rate inside of it for the money that's being paid out to you. So if you found another option, that would be better, I would love that. For instance, some people where, you know, they might have a child who's, you know, going to systematically buy the property from them or something like that, will hold a mortgage to create some income. They, in some cases, will downsize and buy something less expensive and take the proceeds and then, you know, generate an income there by investing it. But if you explore all of those options and you're comfortable with this situation in terms of the debt needing to be paid back and knowing that you'll have to maintain the expenses, certainly this could be a situation where this could give you, you know, that just bump in monthly income that's really going to get to you, get you to balance that budget, which is obviously the key. So I would do your homework on who to go with and compare all of the costs. But at the end of the day, if this is the decision you go with, I think in your situation, it could make some sense.
Hmm. Luana, we wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. Continuing, Trenton, Georgia. Hi, Joseph. What's your question for Rob West?
Well, hi, guys. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
Listen, I have a 401k through my job, but I took out $3,000 and rolled it over into an individual IRA. And then I opened up an individual account and put like $30 in it a week, and it's up. And I was wondering, I got stock in Apple and Sony and Walmart and stuff like that. But I was trying to really make this money grow, and I was wondering if options, trading options, would be the way to go for me.
Yeah, you know, Joseph, I certainly there's nothing wrong with options at their face value, but they really are. It's an investing strategy that, in my view, should be reserved for those folks who really I would put in a professional trading capacity. It's not for the average investor just because it creates a lot more volatility. It increases the risk. And oftentimes, when you look at it over a long period of time by a novice investor, it doesn't increase the returns. And so trying to kind of take a shortcut, so to speak, and, you know, pick up, you know, more return by increasing the risk, I just think is not going to be the best way to go for you. I'd rather see you just take a tried and true approach by just continuing to invest systematically into the broad market with a well-diversified strategy. But somebody who, you know, doesn't have the experience I think is necessary when you get into an options category, you really are just increasing the risk substantially. And, you know, I don't think in the end, when you look back and evaluate how you did for that increased risk, I just don't think it's going to work in your favor. So as much as I hear you and you want to try to find a way to get a little bit better return on your money, you know, I think just based on the research I've seen and watching this happen time and time again, it's not going to be the very, very best way for you to go. So I'd stick with your more traditional approach.
Joseph, and we want to recommend to you, like we did to a previous caller, that you, at your convenience, check out soundmindinvesting.org. You sound like the kind of guy who wants to know what you're doing, where you're heading, you're interested in your dollars and your investments, and there's lots of great information there specifically oriented to guys like you. So check it out, soundmindinvesting.org. Time for one more. Mancos, Colorado. Hi, Betty. What's your question today, and how can we help you?
I have three IRA accounts, and each one of them is tied to a life insurance policy. All of them is got my name on them for my my retirement and my benefits. But one is for me, which I am retired, but I'm not drawing on it. The second one is for my kids, and when I pass, then they will get the life insurance, and I want them to keep up on the IRA. And then the third one is for my grandkids to do the same thing. But like I said, it's all in my name. How do I go about getting it to the kids without them having the access to just go spend it?
Yeah. And I guess the only thing I'm unclear on, is this something that's often referred to as a LERP, which is basically a permanent life insurance plan that simulates the tax-free traits of a Roth IRA. Is that, have you heard that term before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little confused when you say IRA attached to life insurance, because there's IRAs, individual retirement accounts, and they can only be opened in your name, and you can have more than one, but there's a max, obviously, in what you can put in every year, and it has to be only up to the amount of earned income you have until you reach that cap. And then there's life insurance, and there's term life insurance and whole life insurance, which the whole life has the death benefit attached to a savings account, and often there's investments underneath it. So the IRA would be able to have beneficiaries where you would be able to say how you want any number of IRAs, how many you have, how you want them passed at your death, and that would pass outside of probate based on the beneficiary designation. And then there's life insurance, which has an owner, and then it has a beneficiary where you would designate where the death benefit goes when the person dies that it's attached to their life. And then the question would be, is there an investment inside that life insurance policy? And that's where the whole life comes in. So apart from that, I'm a little unclear exactly what you have. I think you'd probably be in the best position to contact a certified Kingdom advisor who can just look over what you have, because it sounds like it's a little bit complex. You can find one in your area at moneywiselive.org.
Betty, and we do appreciate your call and trust you'll have a great remainder of your day. Thank you very much. And to all of our listeners, have a great remainder of your day. Drive safely. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Tell a friend and then join us again tomorrow.